In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome to the Bachelor Podcast. I'm Kay York City.
And I am Jared Freed. It is so good to be back here with you, Kay. Love is Blind, episodes 9 through 11, taking us to the finale-ish, I guess.
It was such a blue-balled moment. Man, I was so...
I don't really get it. Because... I think that, you know, after these episodes, and if you're joining us, we're going to recap episodes 9, 10, and 11, and we're going to get, and we hope that you're listening to this after you've binged, so to speak. That's kind of the point of these episodes. Right? Doesn't it, it wasn't the next episode reunion time? Isn't that what that is?
That's what they're saying. So they're having a live reunion, their first ever live reunion on April 16th, which is super exciting. But I am worried about it being like during Coachella weekend and people aren't going to be able to watch.
I have a feeling the people who, I don't know. I don't.
Actually, you're right.
The Coachella Love is Blind crossover is really large. I don't know. I don't know what the center of that Venn diagram is.
Yeah, it's probably
like
a small, but they're alive and well. But it's they're doing their first live reunion, but they're teasing that, but they're not teasing the what actually happened, like when the finale actually is. So we got, it was like right up to when Kwame was supposed to give his answer, and then I'm like,
Right. And we're going to go through all the episodes and all that. Yeah, it's just kind of weird. I don't know.
Yeah.
Your description of blue balls is totally correct. And so we have some, before we get into the episodes 9, 10, 11, there's some news that has come up since our last taping.
So Irina put out, just like Micah, but Micah put out a Notes app apology on her Instagram story. But Irina made a full Reels video and
set up
her camera, set up her phone, memorized her PR statement, got off book, and made a video apologizing. Which, what do you think about that? Like, here's another apology. What do you think about this one?
I didn't watch it. I don't watch apologies that I don't need. Listen, if you're out there and you're like, I'm waiting on Irina to apologize to me, okay, you should watch that. Like, I don't know. And that's my little bit of zen. Why would I watch someone? I just think it's so stupid. I don't know what the apology, we said this with Micah. Like, I don't know what the apology is for. You're apologizing for being you. And if anything, like, it is just, it's a weird thing that only happens because social media is weird. They hear the feedback and sometimes you have to just live with a mistake. Hey, I fucked up. I showed up late. My bad. And then you have to explain yourself to the people you let down. If I were her, I would have to explain. The only person she has to apologize is Zach to me.
I know. So that's how she started the apology. She was like, first, I want to say that I have already apologized to, and this, she literally said this, to the parties involved.
Okay.
As if it is some sort of like true crime incident. But I've already apologized privately to the parties involved, but I do want to put out an apology to you all. And I agree. I don't think she really did just apologize essentially for being herself and being this mean girl character. But again, what she did was sort of fucked up, but it's for it's TV.
Well,
we want to be entertained.
Right. But it's also like, it's TV. That's why we're seeing it. Mm-hmm. So you kind of, you know, you have to live with the consequences of your actions and the consequence of, you know, we all do. We all have to, you know, live. So I don't know. It's just like, where does that apology, like, who is sitting there going, well, I'll give, I you know, here's the thing. If anyone who meets Irina who watched her on TV is going to go, oh, that's the woman who kind of acted like a bitch on the show. And mm-hmm. so no apology is going to erase that preemptive judgment of you. And you have to, you know, you kind of have to live with that as part of your story, I guess. I don't know. There was another news item that's pretty interesting. And it's interesting to today's episodes, or the three that we're going over. Kwame was seen on Married at First Sight. He was a finalist to get on the show. What do you think of that?
Well, as a Married at First Sight fan,
I can't believe this.
Well, so I've been randomly watching these Married at First Sight seasons. I think they're way too long, personally. Like, okay. The episodes are literally each an hour and a half, and they're so, like, take Love is Blind, but make it, like, three times as long. It's right, way too much right. content. But the concept is really insane because, so these people aren't just, you know, talking to each other before and they don't know what each other look like. They are not, they don't even know the person's name before they walk down the aisle.
It's crazy.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. I mean,
they don't know their name, what they look like, anything.
To sign up for the show is craziness.
It's like, a level of desperation that I don't know, I didn't know was attainable.
Right. So I guess Kwame was a finalist to get on the show as far as like, is he, so I don't know the show. Is he like interviewing with like the people who fix you up? Is it?
When you interview for the show, there's the narrator, sort of like a Jesse Palmer or a Nick Lachey and Vanessa. They have these three people. One is this guy who's like a marriage counselor. And then another one's like a therapist, and another one is the actual expert who picks the matches. They go through your profiles, they match you up. And so when they find out that they've made the show and they tell their families, they're like, so the experts have found a match.
Okay.
As if they're getting like a new kidney.
Right.
And they match you up that way. But they don't really show the interview process. They just show like the people that they've picked do like a bachelor sort of intro. Each of them talks about their lives and their struggles. And then it shows who they're being matched up with, talks about their lives and struggles. But him, so at least what I saw, it was just him in the background. I don't know if it was, I did not see his episode, but they show him in the background like leaving with a bunch of guys. It looked like it was from a ceremony, but maybe it was from an actual casting call. I'm not sure, but it looked like it was from like maybe one of his friends was on the show and got married as well.
So, okay. So hold on. So we don't know actually that he was on the show or wanted to.
I mean,
to
he
be
was
on
the show. On the show. So he was seen on the screen.
Hold on.
Yes.
Being seen at a baseball game isn't the same as playing for the team.
Correct. He was seen on the show as in he was like in one of the scenes. He was not the focus in any way, shape, or form. He was just like in the background.
Okay. So to say he was a finalist to get on the show is a little bit.
He might have been a finalist. Maybe it was that, but he was, you can see him on screen.
Okay. I don't know. It's like, because it's to me, it like fashions your opinion of these three episodes to know that Kwame, if he was looking to be married at first sight or put himself up for that type of, you know, game, so to speak, like it kind of like messes with my opinion of how he's acting on this thing.
Mm-hmm. It's
because
really interesting.
You go, does he want fame? You know?
But that's what we talked about in previous episodes when he proposed to Chelsea. Like we said, he's going on that vacation.
He's getting
staying
the experience.
On the show.
He's doing the cruise ship. He's getting the full week. So in other news, Jackie and Josh were spotted at a baseball game together. This comes up in these three episodes. Their love story, so to speak. I mean, this is surprising just because, you know, Jackie being in any, well, there's a very big difference between you two are going to get married and you're dating someone. Mm-hmm. But I get, that's why it was surprising to me, is you kind of forget, like, the stakes are so much higher on this show. And I can understand, you know, Jackie isn't exactly nuts, you know, for going, for freaking out a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was surprising to me to see, like, she'd still be dating someone show adjacent.
My issue with this whole thing is like, why go to a public event right now?
I mean,
knowing Jackie clearly doesn't give a fuck. Like, doesn't care.
Well, Jackie clearly, like, kind of gets pumped up by drama. Like, it's kind of how she operates. Like, you know, this is kind of a little bit of a lifeblood for her, as we've seen. Like,
I wonder if she was served with some sort of, like, if I were Netflix, I'd be pissed.
Oh.
I wonder if she's getting, because that's a massive spoiler.
Right. I guess I didn't realize, like, these episodes hadn't come out yet. You know, we're taking this. Yeah, so.
Even if she was dating Josh, like, her and Marshall aren't fully, like.
Right.
They're still, even in these episodes, he's going to try on his suit. Summer is fast approaching, which means more social events, more weddings to attend, more nights out on the town, and hopefully more vacations. That's why I'm so thankful for today's sponsor, Honeylove, for covering us with the best shapewear. With Honeylove, you can feel your best even when you're wearing less. They've revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. Plus, they're the only shapewear that won't ever roll down no matter how much you groove on the dance floor. And for a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with this exclusive link, honeylove.com/bachelor. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/bachelor. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling superpower short is the go-to. It is targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. It is amazing. I've been wearing it for years now. It fits me so well, and I'm not kidding you. When they say it doesn't roll down, it does not roll down, and it hugs you in all the right places. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/bachelor. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/bachelor. And after you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. The summer vibes are just getting started, honeys. Shape your life with Honeylove. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but you can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. So free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service, and for just $98 a month, you can get your choice of any 6 styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. Get fast, free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. No laundry for you to worry about. And always have the option to buy what you love for sometimes up to 75% off. Nuuly is a great value of $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up using the code BACHELOR20. Just go to Nuuly.com, that's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code BACHELOR20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, with the code BACHELOR20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental, change your clothes.
Let's go into episode 9. That's where we start. It's after the birthday party. Marshall and Jackie are back together and not really doing well. Marshall is direct and says, "What do you need from me?" And she says, her brain shot. Like, this scene was like, it's hard to watch because, and then she's saying, "I thought we were fine," and she had just spoken, you know, just talked to
a guy.
Which
is crazy.
Right. I thought we were fine. I just talked to a guy who said he loved me and wanted to sweep me away. I thought we were cool. And
excuse me?
Marshall says that you leave before our day, you know, before I even start the day. And Jackie says, I think you're a great guy. And then says, just love me, you know, which is kind of a, you know, I think you're a great guy. So just love me. Give me love was kind of Jackie's statement of like, what did you think of just watching them together?
I think it's really painful to watch Marshall and Jackie because it's just a constant push and pull for Marshall. And you can tell that he is still so clearly fighting for this and trying for this
right.
and coming back to take this sort of like back and forth whiplash abuse from her right. On like what she actually wants. And I don't know. I think Marshall needs to just like put his foot down and be like, this has to be it. Like, I can't do this. She's not giving him anything.
Right. And there's a point where you go, Jackie doesn't want to dump someone. Mm-hmm. You know, Jackie doesn't want it. Jackie's sitting there going, and this happens in a lot of relationships. You go, you stay too long because you go, they're great. You know, and, you know, someone being great is not the same as being great for you.
I've done that before.
Right. Haven't we all?
Yeah. And it's not a nice feeling because then you're like, you're not treating them correctly because you're not really invested enough.
Right. And it's like, it reminded me of like, you know, it's like, you know, Jackie makes a lot about like him being too emotional and like him being too sensitive and not taking charge. It's like, you want to like look at Jackie and go, yeah, you're both not going to change. Like this isn't, I don't know. It reminded me of like the childhood crush. Like, you know, when someone has a crush, they just can't put it together. Like I feel for Marshall because I think anyone who's like someone who doesn't like them back, but still gives them attention has been Marshall.
Oh yeah. Everybody's been a Marshall at some point. And
right.
honestly, unfortunately, I think most of us have been Jackie's as well.
Yeah. There's something to that too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then we go to Bliss meeting Zach's family. What did you think of this? Bliss meets Zach's sisters, an aunt and uncle. Dad, you know, Bliss's dad had a similar tough childhood, which is why she respects Zach. And it seems they love her. Like they're team Bliss, Zach's family.
I mean, I don't know about you, but this really humanized Zach for me. This put in like I had less of like an ick seeing Zach's family and hearing like these nice things that they were saying about him and getting emotional about, you know, him finding someone. I liked Zach in this scene a lot. It made me like him a lot more. It took the cringe away a little bit.
Zach is like the person you meet on day one and you're like, fuck that dude. And then you start to understand that's just how he is and it's not personal.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, okay, I get where he fits into kind of the world. You know, like this wasn't a character he was doing, which it felt like on day one. You know, when he's doing I'm a stripper and putting people through these tests, you're like, ugh. Get out of here. And then you're like, when will this character stop? And then you go, oh, okay.
This is just who he is.
This is just what it is.
Which is kind of crazy.
And speaking of like, you know, people changing over the course of the show, we go to Kwame and Chelsea who go shopping.
This was bad.
This was bad because Kwame says she's being confrontational and woke up with an attitude. At certain points, it can feel suffocating, is something Kwame said. What did you think? This was to me the moment Chelsea became who she really was. Like, so much went on here. She needed a lot of affirmations. Like, she should know that someone who likes someone else at first might not be like there's a bunch of notes here. Chelsea, just her being a lot. And it sometimes feels like she's doing a character of a woman who wants to get married right away.
Yes. It doesn't feel real. Like there were what made this scene uncomfortable for me was watching how she reacted to Kwame being uncomfortable. So like Kwame would be like, okay, like it's time to go. The whole, you know, boyfriend waiting out in the outside the dressing rooms waiting for her to change. Like he's not giving, he's not saying like, you look good, or like, yes, let's try on another, like that kind of thing, like hyping her up. He like, he wants to get the fuck out of there. And she's blatantly ignoring that and just being like, could I get any hotter? Just not taking in what he's actually, it felt like too clashing. They were having two completely different experiences, which was really strange.
You're totally right. And that's the thing that kind of sucks for Kwame is, you know, like even in their conversations, like Chelsea can't see his side and Kwame has to see her side because like all of Kwame's things are like pretty frivolous in the put against the backdrop of Chelsea's things. Kwame's things are, I like Portland and I like going for my runs and I kind of want to travel and that, you know, that's why where the love married at first sight thing comes in. It's like, dude, if you know all this, get out of here.
Yeah, you know, what like, are you doing here?
You know, like, what are you doing here? But then it's interesting as he's negotiating with Chelsea, like all of her things are something that everyone would take the side of. She's like, I want marriage and kids and our love story. I love our love. And you're like, on a piece of paper, Portland and runs do not add up to marriage and kids. But you're two people with two, just like you said, it doesn't feel like they're in the same world.
It was so weird. Like her, when she finally got out of the dressing room and she was feeding him those, she's like, here, have it, or feed me a strawberry. He's like, all right.
Aye.
And then she's like, let me feed you one. He literally said, no, no, I can't. She goes, nope, you're doing it. We're doing this.
Right.
As
right.
if it's like as if there's, you know, obviously there's cameras around, but it's like she's trying to play it up and act like everything's okay. You know, the couples that pretend like they're not fighting, but they actually are.
Right. It's the Our Story page on the wedding website that if you read it with a different tone, it'd be horrific. Mm. Like, they're like, at first, in our first few months, you know, Kwame was with another woman. And that's when we, but then he saw me across the room. Like, you'd be like, wait a minute. He's with another woman. You know, like, you know, like, yeah, it feels like she's trying to smash a square peg into a round hole that is a beautiful story. Or like, instead of like, hey, it seems like you don't want to live here. You know,
I have one hot take before we jump to the next one about this Kwame situation or this Kwame and Chelsea situation. I think this is just a conspiracy maybe could happen. I think Chelsea is fully aware. I mean, I think she's definitely fully aware that Kwame is not into her, but I think she's leaning into this so much and giving everything so that when it comes time to be on that altar and Kwame maybe saying no, she's not going to look bad at all. Like it's going to look very
absolutely.
You know what I mean? I think
I
she
totally
knows.
Agree.
And she's like, you know what? You know what? Let me just like act like this. I'm doing everything right, and he's the one that really
well,
missed
she
out.
Right, and she kind of does say certain things like that later in the other episodes, where it's like basically like she sets it up and she positions it in a way where again, I want love, and you will crush me. If you do not give me, all you have to do is say yes. That's all you got to do. All you got to do is move, you know, move to a new state and, you know, with no friends and give up your dreams of travel. And that's nothing for love. And you go, it's hard to watch because like, you know, this is sometimes a very, and by our own designs, men get kind of put into that position of like, if you say yes, we good. And you're like, okay, I guess I'll be the one that decides whether we both are in love or not. You know, like.
Yeah. It's kind of sad.
So it more than kind of to me. Like Chelsea to me is like, It is funny to me. I would love to hear, like, you and I, two different people, we both sit here going, Chelsea's sad. I wonder if there's people that watch and go, Chelsea is totally in the right. Like, I because I do think she takes the, her, I on a piece of paper, Chelsea is right. I want love and marriage, and I want to be with the person that I, with a beautiful love story. So I wonder if they're out there, they're like, maybe they're listening to us now being like, what? But Chelsea just fell in love. You know, like, I just don't,
For
I don't
sure,
know.
There has to be, because like, I understand she's putting it, I think it's less of she's right and wants love, but more of she is putting all of her effort into making this work. Like, she's doing all the things to make this work,
right.
Which is the problem with Married at First Sight that you see with all these people, is because none of them are, like, fully committing and just leaning into, like, all right, I'm married now, so I have to, like, really make this happen. And I think that's what her...
Right. I guess that's the defense, is, is she's doing all the work and he's doing no work and just opting in or out, which is a laziness. I don't know. If someone couldn't see that Chelsea's annoying, I don't think I could ever talk to them in any circumstance on
She's
her.
She's really intense. It's just
so intense.
Everything is so intense, the way that she looks at him. And I have another thought later, but when we get to her other scene.
Oh, there's more Chelsea to come.
Yes.
So we get to Brett and Tiffany. I almost called them Brett and Tiffany. Brett and
they
Tiffany.
They are one.
I mean... Yeah, Briffany, and they meet with Brett's friends. Total success. Like,
yeah,
they aren't. I would say they're boring to watch to me because they're so. You're like, I get it. It's so interesting how much I buy every like sappy thing Brett and Tiffany say.
I know,
and I don't buy a single sappy thing Chelsea says.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes. There's something about Chelsea's that feels very...
forced.
Like put forced. Yes. Forced. And there's...
Totally forced.
And Brett and Tiffany, it's like, yeah, like, she's amazing. I can't believe she's here. Let's move into a bigger apartment. I'm so lucky to have you. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh my God.
And the friends are cool. There's not one like... You know, like, the friends are awesome. She comes in, like, I don't know. It was a very funny thing to see the difference between meeting the male friends versus meeting her friends. Her friends are all like, you better not ruin my girl's life. And then these friends are like, hey, come on in here. Big hugs, you know?
I know. Guy friends are so much different than girlfriends. It's unbelievable.
Girlfriends, they come with, like, pitchforks. They're like, you better not do anything to this... beautiful soul. And it's like, they're just all like cool.
You
and
need
fun.
To do a TikTok about that, comparing guy friends and girlfriends. That would be really funny. I'm tuning in. Add that to your repertoire, to your queue for your TikTok drafts, because I need to see a video.
Okay. Look at now I work for Kay's social media team. So Paul and Micah then get together. They discuss moving in together at Paul's apartment. Paul said he's willing to move to Scottsdale. Micah says Paul's mom is texting her. Paul seems here for it. Says he'd be lying if he said he wasn't afraid, but would be lonely without her. This was like a revealing moment. She's texting with his mom. He says, I'd be lonely without you. Like, Paul doesn't give us a lot, you know, like, as far as, like, just anything. And then, but then he has these small lines that you're like, oh, he's like totally into this.
Yes. But he also gives lines like he said he would move to Scottsdale. But the thing about before he said, yes, I'd probably consider, like, I'd consider doing it. She asked him, and his first response was, no, I'm not moving to Scottsdale. And that was like sort of how he did when she first went to his apartment. And she was like, you know, we'd get a new apartment here, a bigger one, and he's like, no, I'm staying in this apartment. Just kidding. But he pulls a Sean Lowe and says he's just kidding, but he kind of means it.
Right.
But yes, he does say also a lot of things that are like, I really love this girl. The fact that she's texting his mom is a huge thing. So it's weird to see the dynamic because sometimes I think he's in, but sometimes I think he's very much out.
That's interesting because, yeah, he does say it's almost like the just kidding thing is a funny thing because it's like he'll say something and then it's like under his breath, he'd be like, but I would be lonely without you. And you're like, oh, so okay. You love her? Like, okay. Yeah.
You can be honest about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I her texting with her. I didn't expect Micah to be texting with his mom. Like, I don't know why that felt like a surprise, but I was like, oh, this is like happening. You know, like.
I like that she was texting with his mom because it makes sense. When his mom, he said that he's very close to her, like him and his mom are tight. And then she walks on, we meet his mom for the first time and she's. Looks like Micah, the blonde hair. Like they seem like they would be. This is probably a test. He probably wants this to happen.
Right, and he did. The mom did refer to him as their baby Jesus. Right, like the mom is very involved. It seems.
Yes, she's the. I don't know if you saw White Lotus, but she's the mom that shows up in the first season on the honeymoon.
Right.
For like just 2 days.
Just gonna chill.
Just going to show up for 2 days and baby him a little bit and then leave.
So Zach meets Bliss's moms and sisters. And this was, I mean, like, I have to say, I give Zach a lot of credit because he does things like, I don't know what type of lawyer he is or what type of cases he seems to excel at. But this guy gets it all on the table. He literally looks at the moms and sisters and is like, I went to Mexico with another woman. And like, even it felt like he was over explaining. Like, he was saying
details.
It was a lot of details. And it was like, even Bliss, you could tell, like, her being like, you know, like, I don't need to tell him everything. Like, you're getting introduced. Like, but he and the family at first. Like, it was, like, one of those things of, like, remember the commercial? I don't know. They spoofed it on Chappelle's show, but it was, like, the Sam Adams commercial where, like, the one guy's like, oh, I'll have a Sam Adams. Like, they're at the business lunch, and the guy goes, I'll have a Sam Adams. And there's that moment of, like, holy shit, the guy just ordered a beer at lunch. And then the boss goes, I'll have a Sam Adams. And they're like, yeah! Like, they, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's like oh, yeah. You nailed it. You got the job. Like, that's kind of how this meeting with Zach and the mom and sisters went. Where it was like, he's giving them everything. And then the mom's like, I'll be your mother. And you're like, what? It worked?
I know. That when she said that, I was like, oh, okay. This must. But the thing is about him explaining everything, which I also agreed. Like, Bliss was like, oh, so you're telling them everything.
Did they even have a game plan? It feels like they show up to these parent meetings like individually without seeing each other. Like they've been like, you know, with like horse blinders on. Like they're not allowed to see each other before they get together with them. Like, don't you discuss like how we're going to play this?
Right. How we're going to approach this. But at the same time, he made a good move about getting it all out on the table now because they will see the show.
Right.
And see that so he might as well, like, I feel like they would be more pissed now, especially if Bliss and Zach are still together. And now his mom saw the show and is like, wait, huh?
Right. You know? I mean, in the same way that, like, Tiffany and Brett were like, let's talk finances. And you're like, wow, these are things you should be doing. No one wants to do them, but you're doing it. You know, like, can you afford this apartment? Can you afford, you know, how bougie you are? Zach is like, here it is. It makes me, like, trust him more.
Yeah, because he's clearly not going to, he's not going to bullshit you at a certain level.
Right. He's like, it goes to he's a very analytical guy. You can kind of tell, like, it's just like, 1 + 1 = 2 with him a lot. And I would say that this is part of that. Like where he's like, they must know, so they will know, and then we'll get married because they know. You know, like it was I also loved her family. Like her family, like when her mom said, I'll be your mom, like that was like a touching moment.
It was really sweet. Really, really sweet. I was like, oh my God, am I crying?
Right.
During a Zach scene?
Yeah.
I don't know.
How did this happen? So then Chelsea and Kwame go to meet Chelsea's family. And, you know, Chelsea is like at an 11. She's excited. I'm excited. Are you excited? Chelsea always needs affirmations. Like at every turn, Chelsea. And again, if we're going to go into like, how do we defend Chelsea mode? It's because she's doing all the work. And she's like, you still want me doing this work? I got to hear it. And you're like, ugh, if you have to ask, then maybe you shouldn't be asking them.
Mm-hmm. This scene was interesting. And like, it showed a lot because at first I was like, man, Kwame is in for it. But at the end, he was like, yeah. Like, he was like, they were all cool. Like, they were all a bunch of Chelseas. And he seemed like he was really into it. And he was like, I could see myself in this. But at the beginning, I was like, man, when she said she was talking him up, she was like, he's so talented. He's so this. He's so that. Right. And that, I don't know. And then knowing what we know about Kwame and Chelsea and how he feels about all of these like compliments, it's just weird to watch. What did you think about this scene?
Yeah, no, I think it is weird to watch someone tell the story they see to the other people. Like, we get a window into that, like, that brunch table. And it's like, you know, you're at brunch and, like, someone's talking about whatever story. It's like, yeah, you're going to make yourself sound good in whatever story you tell because you're the main character. No one wants to be. No, there's not a lot of anti-heroes in your own story. So it's, and Chelsea, and he even says it's just a bunch of Chelseas. Like, they do look like four women who watch The Bachelor together. Like, it looks like they have, like, their names on the wine glasses, and they look like they're at Home Goods once a week. Like, it was that type of vibe. And it's like, that look also comes with, like, you know, my own biases and, like, my own, its own stereotypes, where you're like, yeah, these are four women who lie to each other about how great their relationships are when they're really just kind of fine or okay or not going great. It kind of had that look.
Yeah. I mean, that's what Chelsea did. She's talking this stuff up like, he wrote me a song. He's so talented. He's such a talented singer. Right. He does this. He does that. But things aren't going great. But she'll never ever say it.
She never says he really doesn't feel great about having a kid right away. She'll never say he doesn't feel great about leaving his friends in Portland and moving to Seattle. No. They also lived on... I want to know where they live.
Oh, I know. It was like on like a lake house.
Right. It was like, I don't know. Listen. I always get these messages. They rent them a house and it's not really theirs. Okay. I don't care. Where the fuck is that house? And there are points when you go around Seattle, and you've been to Seattle as well. Like, you're like, who lives there? That's someone's life? And that was like one of those houses that I kind of had that thought on. I was like, that's how someone lives?
Living in LA, I see these insane houses driving everywhere, and I'm like, I need to know the backstory. Like, how did they get to this point?
Right. So
that they have this giant mansion in Brentwood or the hill. Like, how did you get there?
Right. What? Give me the.
How do I get there?
Give me the Wikipedia page. Right. How do I get there? So then we end the episode. Everyone goes shopping for dresses and tuxes, and. Jackie doesn't go, and Marshall's very excited. Marshall was excited to get tuxes in the way that I think of women being excited to get their dresses.
I know.
Like, and then
everything
of course,
about Marshall is so just like, he's like a giddy little 5-year-old, and then Jackie just truly does not care. I mean, not showing up for her dress fitting and going on, you know, a date with Josh, which we find out in the next episode, is just like, how rude. Like,
hey,
that's
I gotta cancel my wedding dress shopping to go on a date with my next boyfriend is pretty wild. Yeah, that's how we open episode 10, is Jackie meets with Josh, and Josh and Jackie bond over being bad with emotions. They're basically like, oh, you're toxic? I'm toxic. Oh, my God. Like, and honestly, listen, I'm letting Jackie off the hook a little bit because, like, who you go, who I don't know how old Jackie is, but like, whatever. When you're not, if you're not ready, you're not ready. Like, no one can force that on you. Like, again, Marshall, there was a meme put up that Bachelor put up that it was like Marshall's perfect for Chelsea. And it's like, I don't think Marshall's perfect for Chelsea. I don't think Josh is perfect for Jackie. Like, I don't, yeah. I don't think, like, and I'm not one of those opposites attract people, but like, there can be too much of one thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and
yeah.
Didn't you, didn't it feel like Josh and Jackie were just like two Marvel supervillains that were going to be like, that were going to like team up, but then hate each other, like have to fight each other at some point?
Yes. It was, I called this from the beginning. I was like, Jackie needs a toxic love. She wants that,
right,
that challenge, which Marsha will never give to her. She wants the guy, she wants to chase. She wants she wants to feel like she has to like earn him a little bit. And right. Josh is not a serious person. Like he was like in the last episode, or I think episode 8, when they were all at Chelsea's birthday, he was like, I saw Shardy for life. And I'm like, what? I was like, that. And she's like, I need to go on a date with this guy.
Right.
What do you mean? Like, he's hammer drunk and he's right. like dumping all this stuff because he sees this as a competition. But she's like, oh, I love this like toxic fighting over me, and then let me just not go to my dress fitting to meet up with another guy because it's going to cause a fight somewhere. And she likes the toxic thing, which we've been there, but I don't know.
It's like, you know, when you watch, you're like, oh no, Jackie, don't do this. Like, you're watching kind of like a parent would watch, and you know, and like, sometimes it's like, You learn from that. You go, oh, those are the relationships that won't probably last. And then sometimes you're like, maybe I should see a therapist. And there's other things that, like, there's a reason I'm going towards these types of people and not towards the, you know, the Marshalls of the world. And there's a reason that the Marshalls of the world don't get me going, you know? Like, which is a deeper thing than this show can be, you know? Like, you know, like, it's not like... Like, I don't think there's a moment where Nick Lachey, like, stops the coffee date and is like, hey, let's go to a therapist down the street. I know a great one. You know, like, that's not going to happen. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have a question about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Go back to the tux shopping, and Marshall has no idea she's meeting with Josh. Marshall said, I couldn't even get the decency of a text message, because Marshall hears from Brett, who heard from Tiffany, heard from, you know, so we're at this tux shopping, and Kwame brought a pod friend, Jack, who just appears out of nowhere. Like, and that's where I kind of felt bad for Kwame. He's like, he did mention, like, I don't have friends in this area.
Here.
So like, the only person he can have get tuxes with him is a guy he met in a pod.
I know. That really was like, and I didn't even think about it until you just mentioned that is a really sad moment. I thought he was just like, yeah, let me bring my pod friend here. Like, he just does, that's how much he doesn't care. But it's not that he doesn't care. It's just that he had no one else. But why aren't they coming out there? Like, he could have brought his friends out. He's not that, Portland is not that far from.
I hear you. And I don't know. Like, and then you start, again, you might be right, where it's like, is he trying? Is he just there for a scene on the show, or is he there to get his tux for his wedding? You know, like, that's where we're not sure. And she, and I mean, and again, it feels like he's there for a scene for a show because Kwame's back to, like, doing his monologues. He's, I pick up more responsibilities. Sure, her life gets easier. And she, he feels that she's, like, you know, she, and again, that's a way to look at it. She's getting her dream, love, marriage, wedding. I'm the queen. I get, you know, let's move on with life. And he has to choose, oh, shit, I got to, you know, move and find a new spot and, you know, new friends and all that stuff.
Yeah. Kwame is, he knows when the cameras are on and he knows when he has to play things up. But unfortunately, it's never with Chelsea. I feel so bad because she doesn't hear these conversations that he's having. So, like, when the guys ask, they're like, so do you think she's the one or whatever? He laughs. If she knew right. that he was laughing when they ask him those kind of serious questions, like, that's, I really don't like that side.
Well, that's kind of the theme, and Samantha wrote this down in our notes, is that no one asks the girls if they're saying yes to the altar, but the men are still kind of weighing their options. It does feel like that a lot. It does mm-hmm. feel like the women are like, you know, like even Micah's mom, they share a moment getting the dress, you know. Didn't Tiffany's mom say something at the dress shopping where she's like, we did it, we made it. You know, like, there's like,
yeah,
you know, they're like clink, clink with the glasses. And the men are just like, we'll see. You know, like, yeah. It's like, who's on a game? It feels like the men are on a game show and the women are on a show where they're getting married.
Again, completely different experiences. They're right. having, they're completely different wavelengths and experiences on what's happening, like what's actually about to happen.
Right. It's bizarre. And then, so then we go straight to Marshall and Jackie breaking up. Marshall asks for the ring back. Jackie says she's going to keep the ring. What do you think of that?
Did I need to know if these men actually bought these rings or were they given to them on the show? Like, you know how, like, Bachelor, they give right. you a ring, but you have to stay together for, like, 3 years or whatever. And if you don't stay together for 3 years, you have to give the ring back.
Right.
She's not that's keeping one of those, the ring.
Well, that's one of those editing things that you're like, okay, I need more story behind the ring. Like, if it's, like, I... Because on its own, that is made to look make Marshall this Marshall, you know, that we want to give a hug to, and Jackie this evil person. But, like... If the ring was bought by the show and I'm Jackie, I'm going, well, why the fuck would I give it back to you? You're not the owner yeah. of this. You didn't buy this. Like, so that's one of those like production things where you're like, what are we? Okay, I get it. Jackie's.
I need more details.
You know, I need more details. Yeah. Like, how do you feel about that? But do you do hear these stories of people not giving it back? Would you give it back?
I mean, I would not want to give it back, but if somebody was going to fucking sue me or if I didn't give it back, I'm giving the ring back. Like, well, if they're like, this
no
is
no suit.
A
you get
$10,000. Yeah, I'm keeping the ring.
Let's say the person you're keeping it. And you're
turning
like, I'm going to trade
something
it.
Something else. Yeah.
There you go. You get the money. Okay. You gave it to me. I will keep it. I will trade it in. I'll get the money. I'll make it into. And you'll drive around in your new car. It's like, yeah, so and so bought this. Fuck him. There it is. Okay.
I would keep the ring. I think I would keep the ring. I mean, I think this is a difference. I would keep the ring if it was on this show. I think like if there was a if right. it was like a real
I'm giving
engagement.
You the hypothetical, a real engagement.
Oh, a real engagement. Then
if he buys you a $50,000 ring.
Ooh.
Okay, real money. Okay? So he buys you a $50,000 this guy's a, you know, killing it. He's got and he buys you this huge rock. Are you giving it back or are you selling it and trading it in for a new...
I still think I'm keeping it, you know? I still think I'm keeping it. Because, like, what other gifts do you give back?
Right. I don't know.
So why would I give this one back?
I don't know the procedure. I don't know. No, you don't. I don't know. Listen, I don't know what the Emily post of this is. But
yeah.
To me, I don't know. I'm trying to think if I ended an engagement and they had this ring, I think I'd be like, keep it. Let me get the fuck out of here. I'll consider that collateral damage. You get the ring to not bother me again.
Yeah.
Like, I guess that would be my,
I think, maybe. Then it would teach
I'm
you
a lazy
even more of a lesson. It's like, all right, well, I'm not buying another $50,000 ring unless I'm for sure.
Right. I'm out 50. I guess, I don't know. It's an interesting dilemma. I think you're right. I don't know. Maybe I'd like to hear what, like, the, whatever the, you know, the polite books say. I don't know what the, that,
yeah, the stupid etiquette. Ring,
yeah,
etiquette.
The etiquette, polite books. What am I, an idiot? So then we get to the most, okay, this episode, I have to say, there's a lot of red flag deal breakers, hypotheticals that are built into this episode. Chelsea and Kwame go for engagement photo shoots. Okay. This was like, I didn't think, listen, we had this conversation earlier this episode. Where, like, who could defend Chelsea? Up until the engagement underwear photo shoots, I think Chelsea is defendable. Mm-hmm. The minute we get to the matching underwear photo shoot, I think I'm looking for the Chelsea bandwagon to see who's still on it, because that person is as crazy as Chelsea. This was the most insane dream. For someone to have. Not that it was like, it's not insane to do. Cause it's like, I guess I get it. Like, you two are hot and you have hot bodies, yeah. You want to get a photo taken. I guess I can get that. But to say that you've dreamed of this since you were little and they're in Calvin Klein matching underwear sets, like, what did you think of this?
This truly is where I snapped with Chelsea. I agree with you. I don't think it's the actual action of doing it or wanting to do it, but saying that this was like something that you've been wanting to do, this was like a goal, this was, he says, he goes, you know, what made this special, because I feel like he's just hyping her up at this point, was that this was something that you've always wanted. Like, you've always wanted a husband that would do this with you. I'm like, what? It's so uncomfortable. It's so forced. Again, it's like played up.
Right. And Kwame even saying that sounded like a line he had to get in. Like, yes. Hey, this is something you want. It's almost like he was afraid of his friends making fun of him. So he was like, I got to make sure I say on camera, this was her dream since being a little girl. So they know I couldn't get out of this. Like, because the way he sets it up is like, you know, they could have just gotten this done and we've been like, oh, that's kind of weird, like, to each their own. But it was played up as such a dream of hers. And she's like, it is a dream. Like, she doesn't even realize how, like, if I were her, I'd be like, well, yeah, whatever. Even if it was my dream, mm-hmm. to have a Calvin Klein photo shoot, I would still be like, oh, we don't need to say that. You know, like, I would be embarrassed that that was my dream. Like, I dream of a beach house. I dream, you know, like, of normal things. Right? I don't know who's dreaming. That would be like, honestly, that would be the moment for me. If I was engaged to someone, keep the ring. I am not taking a shirtless picture in Calvin Klein underwear. I don't look like Marky Mark. I am not, I don't have, and Kwame has the body for the photo shoot. Which yeah. makes it even weirder. Like, is that part of Chelsea's, like, what she looks for in a husband? Is she like, well, he's going to look great in the photo shoot I've been dreaming of? Like, that was almost, like, bizarre.
Yeah, you're right. Like, who? What if she was with a guy who, you know,
me.
Didn't have...
What if, with me? What if she was with
would
me?
Would she still want would this she, photo shoot? Or would her dreams never
pizza?
Come true?
Right. What I just, the photo shoot is the most insane thing I have. The way it was set up, the way it was talked about, one of the more insane things that I've ever seen on reality TV. And like, anyone who defends it, you're now insane too.
And my thing, this is what I was going to bring up before, is that Chelsea is so intense. And yeah. I think just everything about her is so intense. Like, she was like, I just love you so much. This is like, you are everything to me. I've been waiting for you. And this is what I think about the show. If you take out, yes, you're getting married, but if you just let a little bit of pressure off and stop thinking about this as like, okay, this has to be forever. Take out the forever aspect. there's a whole TV show paying for this wedding. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not going to really lose anything. Sure, maybe right. your wedding that you did,
well,
that the TV show paid for, lasted for 6 months, and it didn't work out. Oh, well, who cares? Like,
well,
let's, if you took out that, I think people would lean in more and just be like, let's see if this does happen, instead of putting this forever pressure on it.
Here's where I agree with you. That's the best way to look at it. I will say, as far as Chelsea's concerned, I think she's very concerned with what other people think.
Yeah.
And I think Chelsea, like, and it's why she cares so much to say, to make herself the, you, I'll say yes and I'll be the victim if you say no. You know, right? So that's a very much like, how's this going to look on Instagram? How's this going to look to my friends? How's this going to look to everyone else? And like, there, we get to this later when they're at their bachelorette party, but like the way Chelsea acts there is very insane too. Like, and the way she tells her story is a little crazy. Like, and if you're telling the story with like no, you know, reality to it, or like it's all romantic, then you're trying to sell everyone. Like, you're trying to get it. And so I think that's why she can't do that. She needs everyone to go, this was the right decision. Not, oh shit, you got married on a TV show? Like, what the fuck is that? Like, she wouldn't like that response. So,
right.
We go to Tiffany and Brett, who are at home. She's very stressed, on the verge of being and being overwhelmed by the whole process. I mean, again, we just watched Tiffany and Brett like be the model couple, right? Like, I don't even know what to say.
Well, I panicked for a second at this part, and I was like, "I swear to God, Tiffany, if you fuck this up," I was like. No, you're not stressed. Why would you be stressed? I was you're marrying a man who clearly is like ready to do anything and everything for you. I think she was psyching herself out a little bit and got in her head and was like, am I making the right decision? This is happening so soon. And I'm like, don't do it. Don't self-sabotage. It's
funny. Like, you almost want to like have a live feed of Chelsea and Kwame playing in front of Tiffany. That she can just check in on, and like she would probably feel better. Like if she would like, my God, I'm so stressed about this wedding. And then it would like look at them at their boudoir photo shoot, and you'd be like, oh, okay, we're good. We got nothing.
I don't think Tiffany knows how good she has it. Not that even if you do have it good, like sure, comparatively, she is like living the dream, and that might not necessarily be the same in real life compared to other couples, whatever. But like on this show, she hit like the jackpot, the lottery.
And you know, and together, so they both did. Yeah, I think as a, you know, to find someone that you connect so easily with, and then like, yeah, I totally agree. So we get there's two more scenes that really matter. I mean, Brett and Tiffany do their helicopter date, which was a beautiful moment. And also goes back to like them saying these deep things that you're like, I buy it. And then versus, you know, Kwame and Chelsea, who Kwame calls his mom. The mom doesn't answer. He calls his brother. Brother said he needs to.
His brother basically said just, you know, it's hard to change mom's mind when she's already made it up. Like this is it is this. You told her you're getting married and she's not down with it. And that's it.
Well, here's the thing. Listen, everyone wants their, I would assume most people want their mom to like the person that they're marrying or be on board. But it's not like Kwame didn't know about this. And this goes back to the married at first sight thing. Like, okay, you obviously, you know, are lashing out in a certain way based on how you were brought up. Like, you're going on all these quick marriage TV shows while having a mom who would hate that, and then you care that your mom hates it. So you got us here, Kwame. You know, like, so I that's where I got, you know, I feel for Chelsea, because you go, at what point is she the perfect person to fall for Kwame needing to be on a show? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think he was hoping that his mom would change her mind or something.
Or he knew she never would, and he has his out so he can be on this show.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, that's where I kind of like, you know, Chelsea to me is like, should be in a mental institution, you know, like
it's a lot,
right? So like, you know, I it's hard to blame Chelsea. Like if you were like, who do you blame? The guy who went on Married at First Sight and Love is Blind, whose mom doesn't want him getting married in an untraditional way. He knows that and has that as an out. Or do you blame the woman who her dream was to have a engagement Calvin Klein Marky Mark photo shoot? You go, no, one is sick and the other's calculated.
Yeah.
Right? So like,
That's what the title of the episode is. One is sick and the other is calculated.
Right. She's just sick with the wedding industrial complex. Like she's got the whole stars in her eyes. I can't blame Chelsea as much, but I can blame Kwame. So we end this episode with Zach meeting Bliss's dad, which was the most uncomfortable parent meeting. I mean, that was even the kids. Were the kids told to be dicks? Like, I don't understand.
I think the dad was just so overly intentionally like rude. I think he was rude on purpose, and I think
so
he hyped
rude.
Everything up to the kids on their way over. The stepmom wasn't really having it. She was like, I'm gonna go help you in the kitchen because she's right. Like, I'm not gonna be a part of this. But the kid, like the girl had her sunglasses on at the table, like playing their video games. And Zach's going off about the criminal justice system. I thought I was like in a simulation.
It was absolutely insane. Yeah, Zach, it just felt like I'll just fill the space. Like it felt like Zach just like was trying to like, you know, convince a jury. You know, like
it was so weird. But her dad was not giving him anything. He would be
nothing.
like apparently they're from like the same, I think he said like same hometown or something like that. He was like, do you go fishing? And Zach's like, no, I'm not a big fisher. And he's like, oh, okay, like let down. But then he was like, what about golfing? And he's like, not really a big golfer either. And then he basically just shuts down. He's like, well, we have nothing in common. You're, you know, not athletic. What do you have going for you? And it was just so mean to him, like on purpose.
And it kind of felt like he thought a lot of himself, the dad. Like it felt like he, you know, it sounded like he made it to me. It sounded like he's a self-made man who repeats in the mirror every day that he's a self-made man. Like I own a business. I create a business. I got, you know, I give jobs to 30 people and it's like a self-righteous king of his, you know, like there's a way to own a business where you believe you are, you know, the guy who puts bread in all his workers' mouths. And so he almost like buys his own delusions. I'm looking very deeply into one interaction with the dad, but the dad was just, he became so much more likable as this has gone on. And then you see this dad who's just not having it.
Not having it. And then he keeps reiterating to, like, in front of Zach's face. It's like he was talking to Bliss as if Zach was not sitting 2 feet away from him.
Right.
And he's like, you know, marriage is forever. Like, what the fuck does this guy have? And he kept saying this marriage is forever. It's like, babe, you're with your second wife right now.
Right,
the fuck you mean marriage is forever?
Right. And listen, if he wants to give a lesson, like he could even be a little bit more vulnerable and be like, hey, I had a marriage. I thought it was going to work. We did, you know, like he could have gone into his own story to relate to them. And if he really had an issue with this, and what you said is right. It sounded like in the car, he looked at those kids. He's like, these people fucking suck. Get ready.
Yeah.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover
inside the house there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God, this is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, the Hargan family killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, the Hargan family killings, wherever you get your podcasts.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So we go to episode 11, and you know, there's a lot of like Chelsea and Kwame talk. They're basically, it feels like a lot of foreshadowing for will they say yes or not, is kind of what this whole episode is. And we have the same conversation with Bliss and Zach in the hot tub, like Zach even saying like, what, you know, marriages take work, and like Bliss not wanting to hear a little bit more romanticism, like I'm in love with you, like I want to be married because mm-hmm. you're in love, not because you have to be married. And then right. like, you know, it feels like Kwame, Chelsea, Zach, and Bliss are all having very similar conversations, just like two sides of the same coin, you know, the romantic versus the practical,
yeah,
right, the realistic, right. And Tiffany and Brett meet Brett's dad and brother, which was another win. Like they just keep racking up wins. Like the dad and brother were amazing.
Amazing. So sweet. Like it just shows seeing Brett's friends and family mm. and how they treat him and how they treat others is such a stark difference between you see Micah's friends and
right.
Micah's
right.
mom, who's like, are you sure this is like, when she first told her, she was like, what? Like, right. had no idea that she was going to be on this. But seeing who Brett is around, who he surrounds himself with, who he was raised by, it really shows you. I was like, oh, this is who Brett is.
Right.
Like, he's not putting totally. On a show. This is genuinely who he is as a person. And I think that says so much.
Right. I agree. And even the brother was like, do you like my hair, dude? Like, that was...
Honestly, no, my guy. There's too much hair. I texted Samantha, and I was like, his brother is covered in hair. Like, because he had the beard and the afro. You can't have both.
Right.
Like, you can't have a 10-inch long beard and a 10-inch long afro. All I'm seeing is your eyes.
It would be funny if Tiffany responded the way you responded. It's going to be a no from me on the hair.
We'll talk about it for the wedding.
Right.
But
yeah, for the wedding. You're gonna you know, get a shape up? What are you going to do?
Just a little cleanup. Even just right. the beard.
So we go to the Bachelor and Bachelorette party. And this was the Bachelor party. It's funny that like they bring their own friends to the Bachelor party. And
yeah.
Zach's friends, like even one is like, just Zach explaining this thing to his friends, like it was very Zach. And the friend being like, you're analytical about picking your toilet paper. I got to get on the phone with you. Like it was funny to hear the feedback from the friends. And then Zach doesn't like the burlesque dancers, which again, like this all kind of plays into the, he is exactly who he's been the whole time. Like,
yes.
And then Kwame is just like, I don't like Seattle. Like Kwame's all negativity.
Yeah. Again, and with right. I don't know if she's the one. I hate Seattle. He's like, you know, my April through whatever. He goes, I'm on my runs. I'm on my this. And they're like, not in Seattle. And then he right. goes into the whole, I hate Seattle. You're overrated. You're overpriced.
Right. It's and Paul, like, yeah, they all kind of go back to their old thing. Like, even Paul, back to, like, the analytical, like, is this right? Is this wrong? And then, you know, but I'm going to, you know, they all play the hits.
Mm-hmm. I want to know what these people think after they saw, like, if any of them are still together, which we obviously don't know yet. But after they're watching these things come out, if I were these women, I'd be losing my shit.
Chelsea's bachelorette party was an SNL sketch about a woman having a bachelorette party. Like,
oh my God, it was the exact.
It was brutal. She's screaming. She's posing for pictures. She's saying, the one thing she said, and it was the most annoying thing she said, my fiance's body is better than any stripper's. And you're like, who, the idea, like even the connection between your fiance and the strippers hired for your bachelorette party is an insane
right
thing to like compare. Like these are two different fucking things. Like
completely.
Listen, have you ever been on a bachelor or bachelorette party or whatever? I've been on bachelor parties where there's the one person who you know they shouldn't, like they're unhappy in their life. Like every bachelor party I've ever been on, there's one guy who you're like, they act out in a way around this type of event that you're like, they are not happy. And yeah. It's something about this being in the name of the, you know, in the name of weddings and relationships and commitment and this party that exists around it. Like anyone who says my last single night is the bachelor party, like there's something fucked up about that.
Yeah. It's like, why? Who? You committed to this. You haven't been right. single. Like you literally right. have been in a relationship for the however long. So what do you mean your last single night? What is it? Just because there's no contract signed?
Yeah, it's a weird, the small letters in a contract. Like you're like living by, I don't know. You can just tell who's like Kwame just showed. I mean, not Kwame and Chelsea both just showed like how not, like I actually would want to see what, like I think everyone should get a videotape of their fiance at their bachelorette party or bachelor party just to see how they act. Like, and you will get the most honest version. Right.
Wouldn't be happening, I feel.
Right. That should be what you get. Instead of like, you know, I do, it's you watch the video and then you say I do.
Are you sure?
Yeah, are you sure? Right, that's it.
Because let's roll the tapes.
Speaking of weddings, Chelsea and Kwame, we go to their wedding day. And I thought, I was very surprised by Kwame's sister being as cool and awesome as she was.
Me too. She was, I mean, that is the ideal situation. How she acted, how she like approached things. She brought her a gift. Just, I mean, like right. very positive. And is like, this is your day. I'm here to support you. We'll make whatever decision you need.
Connected it to their culture that, you know, mm-hmm. we're bringing you in. To me, it actually made it sound like our conspiracy theory that Kwame never called his mom and like was calling a friend and was just like enacting this conversation. It made it more real to me. Like I was like, oh, maybe the mom thing isn't as big a thing as Kwame's making it out to be. Maybe this mom yeah. would be mad no matter what Kwame did. Like maybe that was more, you know, glass to break in case of emergency that he's breaking. Then, because for the sister yeah. to be so cool and the mom to be so not cool, it doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't make sense. And the first, when Kwame first called his mom a billion episodes ago, we couldn't hear anything. But then he tries a second right. time, speakerphone. And then the brother was on the phone. So why didn't we hear? But he's talking to her. He's holding the phone up like this.
Right.
And he's like, oh, so you're mad. And it's like, do you have headphones in? I don't hear anybody. Yeah, I don't hear anybody's off. Like,
did he call his mom? We are doubting. Did he call his mom? I don't think he did. I don't think
he did either.
That I'm with you. The sister was so cool.
So cool. She walked into the dressing room and to meet Chelsea. And she was like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy to have a sister, and like was talking to Chelsea's friends, being like, can we share her? Like it was right. so this is the ideal situation. I'm obsessed with Kwame's sister.
I am too. And it ends with a cliffhanger. Chelsea says I do, and here we are. Again, a little bit blue balled, a little bit like, are we getting other weddings? What's going on? And I guess maybe the thought is that they're going to have a taped reunion and then there's going to be a live reunion, right?
I think there's going to be one more episode, and I think and it's going to come out the same day, maybe as the reunion or something.
Okay.
That's because I think the next episode comes out on 4/14, and maybe that's those are the weddings. So that Friday is when we get the next Friday is when we get the weddings, and then okay. the Sunday is when we get the reunion. Because
we to let people behind the curtains, they gave us screeners, but we are only up to where you are now. So
yeah, we haven't
don't know
seen
anything
the end.
Else. Right. So let's play a couple games.
Yeah.
So let's do alarming or disarming. You go first.
All right. Your significant other is fine to get married without the acceptance from their parents.
Bad. I'm not into that. I don't know.
Alarming.
Alarming. That is alarming. To me, that's like a bad, you're set up for failure at that point.
Like, I think so too. They don't have any, it's like, you really don't give a fuck if your parents care.
Right. And also, I gotta hang with you all the time. You don't have any like parent time. We got no buffer. Mm-hmm. Like, I need a family that can work into this mix. So it's not just, you know, sugar water. I need, you know, like, I need gelatin and to make mm-hmm. jello. Like, I need I need fruit. I need candy. I need something to spice this up. Yeah. I had your significant other dream. Their dream is to take underwear pictures.
Alarming. Also, I don't want to take underwear pictures. I'll never go on Love Island because I don't want to be in a swimsuit for the whole time. I'll never go on I don't want to be photographed in underwear.
It's alarming if you don't find it alarming.
Yeah. That's not it for me. No,
okay,
thank you.
Okay, so listen, that's our episode. We got the, what do you think? Give a prediction. Does All Kwame right. say yes or no?
I think Kwame's going to say no. I don't think Kwame think is so in too. This. I do not think no. Kwame is in this at all. No.
I agree. I think he's no.
He wanted to make it to the very end.
And he did. He got what he wanted.
Have his way out. Have his way out.
Listen, people, if you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you share it around, right, Kay?
Yeah, share it around. Tag us in your story. Tell your friends who watch Love is Blind but might not know that we're covering it, that we cover
right.
it. Make sure you are following us on Instagram at The Bachelor and on Twitter at Bachelor Pod. You can follow me at K York City.
And I'm at Jared Free. The Bachelor Podcast is produced by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales Pico, and Rebecca Sausmacat. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amy Klackner. Guest booking by Allie Friedlander. And be sure to follow at The Bachelor on Instagram and Bachelor Pod on Twitter. And send us your emails to bachelor@betches.com.
Betches.